turn in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John. And we're just going to read one verse in chapter number 8 to begin with. But then the focus of our message is really going to be from John chapter 9. Last week we talked about a merciful, righteous judge. We talked about Jesus Christ and how all the rulers found the woman taken in adultery and wanted to condemn her. But Jesus did not come to condemn her. He really came to with the golden desire that she would be forgiven. She'd be saved, that her life would be changed. And oh, how that we'd show that same mercy and grace and forgiveness to others. John chapter 8, to begin with, we'll read verse number 12. And please stand with me if you would. John chapter 8, and let's read verse number 12. This is a key verse for then something we're going to talk about in chapter number 9. In John chapter 8, and there in verse number 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's read it again. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray. And why don't you pray in your own heart and ask God to speak to you this morning. Ask God to help you. Would you do that? Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be in church this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, for your word that you've given to us and your word that I can preach this morning. I have nothing much to say in and of myself, but I do have your word and I'm thankful for it. Thank you for using this book, this precious holy book, this living, powerful book, to speak to my heart many, many times. And I pray you'd use your word this morning to challenge us and to help us. And if someone would not know Christ, I pray that they would come to believe on you, to know you as our personal Savior. Help us, Lord, to care about others in our community, in our nation that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to help bring the light to them, bring the gospel to them, that they might know the one who is the light of the world, the one who did die on the cross to be our Savior. Lord, help us to be little lights, pointing others to the great light, light of the world, Jesus Christ. Love you, Lord. I pray you'd speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. In John chapter 8, Jesus tried to teach people the truth that he was the light of the world. We just read that statement there. A powerful statement that he makes there in verse number 12. Those who did not believe on Jesus Christ then had no light in them. Those that did not believe on Christ were walking in darkness, the Bible says. They can't walk in the light if they don't know the light. And so only those who believe on the light walk in the light. Those that don't know the light are walking in darkness. And it's like as if they are blind. It is like as if they are blind and cannot see. When we come into chapter number 9, we see an incident that takes place between Jesus and a man that had been born blind. A man that was born blind. And really this chapter is just continuing to teach the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. It's only through Jesus can those walking in darkness be made to see the light. It's only through Jesus that those who are spiritually blind can have their eyes opened in order to be able to see the light. You know, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ could not really see. Why was that? The Bible teaches it's because they were spiritually blind. They were blind. The physically blind man that we're going to read about in this chapter, he also could not see. And even when the light of the world, even when Jesus Christ was standing literally right in front of him, because the man was physically blind, he could not see him. But in the story that we look at today, Jesus is going to reveal himself to the blind man. Before the blind man can see, he must have his eyes restored. Light must be received. The lack of sight does not mean that light is not there. Think about that. The lack of sight does not mean that light is not there. If everybody in this room was to go and close their eyes and shut their eyes as tight as closed as they could, there would still be light in this room, although you would not really see it. Just as light reveals the condition of the eye, the light of the world, Jesus, reveals the condition of the soul. You know, light can exist, but people can fail to see the light if their eyes are blinded to it. The Pharisees, they were people that thought that they could see. The Pharisees were people that were very, very religious, and they thought of themselves as, well, we are the most righteous people. We are the most holy people. They were religious. They were spiritual by their own accounts. Oh, they were really not spiritual at all. They thought that they could see, but in reality we learn in Scriptures that the Pharisees, they were actually spiritually blind. Let me share with you an illustration. I want you to think carefully about this story, and we'll come back to it later. There's a story of a mine explosion that took place in West Virginia. And the explosion plunged the trapped men into total darkness. They were way down below the earth, way down deep into the ground, you know, in tunnels. And when the rescue team managed to get a light through to them, one of the men finally said, well, why don't they turn on the light? Why don't they turn on the light? The other men all turned and they looked at that one in amazement and realized that the explosion had actually blinded the eyes of that man and he could no longer see. In the total darkness below the earth, that man did not know that he was blind, but then when a little light shined and the other saw the light, he didn't see it. And that light revealed to him and to the others that he was blind. Maybe that's what Jesus means here in John chapter 9. Verse 39 to 41. Look at that with me. Let's keep our Bibles open and we want to see something. Or John chapter 9, verse 39 to 41. It says, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. You understand something? Light reveals the true condition. Those who see and those who recognize their own blindness, those who recognize their own lost and sinful condition, those who see their needs for the Savior, are really the ones that come to the light, that come to Jesus Christ, and because of it, they're made whole. Because of that, the blind are made to see. Why? Because there's some people that recognize their blindness, recognize their lost condition, recognize their sin, and God makes them to see. But it's those who are blinded by their own self-righteousness. It's those who are blinded because maybe they're trusting in their own good works to please God. Maybe they're trusting in their religious rituals to take them to heaven. And those are the ones who are truly spiritually blind and cannot see. You see, some have minds that have been blinded by Satan because of their unbelief. And it's only the power of God's Holy Spirit that will be able to convict their hearts and minds to open their blinded eyes. Years ago, there was a member of the British Parliament that took Mr. Burke. Mr. Burke was a statesman, and a great orator, a great speaker. And they took him to hear a man by the name of Dr. Black that was regarded as one of the finest preachers in Scotland. Dr. Black, this man that, you know, humanly and in the world's perspective was known as a great orator and a great speaker and a great man in government and so on. Listen to the sermon that Dr. Black preached. Dr. Black preached a sermon exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. After the service, the friend waited to hear Mr. Burke's reaction to the message, and finally Mr. Burke said about the preacher, he is a great orator, but what was he talking about? But what was he talking about? Mr. Burke may have been a brilliant man, but listen, he was a man who was spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. And that's why when the man would speak about Jesus Christ and so on, he did not understand it. He did not receive it. Why? Because he was spiritually blind. It's our responsibility to preach the Word of God. It's our responsibility to share the light of the gospel of Christ. But listen, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God to open up the heart and open up the minds of people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to open up, if you will, the mind of a listener to help them believe it and help them receive and obey God's word. We're supposed to present the light of the world to people. We're supposed to present the light of Christ to people, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that must open up the understanding for people, that must open up the eyes spiritually for people to see and understand the truth. Notice what, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, still in the New Testament. We're going to read here some words that Paul wrote when he was teaching the Corinthian church. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verses 14 to 17. 2 Corinthians 2 verses 14 to 17. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest, maketh known, maketh to be seen the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We don't corrupt the word of God. Oh, we don't change the message of God. We're just supposed to preach the message. We're successful as we shine the light of the world. We're successful as we shine the light of Christ. You know what? Some people may listen. Some people may hear it and they say, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. You could have some people that could come and sit in church and they could listen and they could hear the Word of God. They could hear Jesus Christ talked about and exalted, and they could listen and say, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand that. Why is it? It's because they're spiritually blind. Others may hear it and say, thank you for showing me the light. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I want you to look back with me to our story in John chapter 9. Turn back with me there, and I want us to read about a man that was blind from his birth, and he could not see. Here, beginning in John chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2, we read about this blind man. Notice what it says with me. John 9, verse 1 and 2. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Notice the disciples, they wanted to find a reason for this man's blindness. They wanted to discuss, who's at fault? Who's to blame? Did the parents sin and that's why they had a child that was born blind? Or did this man sin and that caused, and there's some reason you cursed him or judged him and that's why he's blind? They wanted to find fault. They wanted to find somebody to blame. They wanted to know who sinned. Let's read on verses 3 to 5. John 9, verses 3 to 5. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest, should be seen in him. This man wasn't born blind. Jesus is saying, because of a judgment for sin. This man was born blind so that I'd have an opportunity on this day that God would be glorified. So that on this day, God knew it and God ordained it. So that at this time, when I passed by with my disciples and with other critics all around, I'd have an opportunity to show people what the light of the world can do. That's why. Notice verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Hey, I today am about to perform a work. I'm about to do something today that God sent me to do, that the Father in heaven sent me to do, he's saying. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, verse 5, I am the light of the world. You know what? Jesus didn't give the disciples the answer that they wanted. Jesus said the important thing is not to just search the past. Listen to this. He's saying the important thing is not to just search the past and try to find someone to blame. It's not to try to find if someone was guilty of sin or there's someone to blame for this man's blindness. We may not always understand it, but God has His own reasons for permitting sickness and disease and troubles and suffering to come into the lives of people. We may not always understand it, but God has His reasons when some are allowed to suffer. When some go through persecution and trials and suffering in their life. God has His way, and He doesn't always have to tell us His reasons. Truth is, God does not owe us an answer. God doesn't owe me an answer for why He does all that He does. God does expect us, though, to walk by faith. God does expect us to live by faith. God does expect us to trust Him through the dark times of our life. Why do people sometimes suffer? Why would this man be born blind? Can you imagine a child being born blind? Parents are excited about having a baby, and the baby's born blind. Why? Nobody understood the reason why, but here Jesus finally tells the disciples years later why a baby had been born blind. Because this was going to be a day where the Father would be glorified and where Jesus would give this man his sight, restore his sight physically, give him sight spiritually, save that man, change his life, and that would be an opportunity to show everybody what Christ could do. God wants us to walk by faith and live by faith. He has created you and me for His glory. He did not create us for our own glory. He did not create us just to make a name for ourselves. He created us to magnify His name. He created us to glorify Him. And if we miss that, listen, we will miss the entire purpose or reason of why God made us. God didn't just make us for ourselves. He made us for Himself. He made us to glorify Him. Trials or sufferings may sometimes come into our lives for the glory of God. There may be something that He wants us to accomplish in our lives. There may be some way that He wants to show or demonstrate His power. There may be a way that He wants to show His greatness to those around so that they will learn to trust Him and fear Him and walk by faith. In our story here in John chapter 9, this blind man, through the healing of his blindness, was going to bring about the glory of God. Not only will this blind man receive his physical sight, but he'll also come to truly see Jesus. And understand who Jesus is and what He did for him, and he'll be saved. The disciples were worried about who sinned. Who sinned? Jesus was worried about saving sinners. Saving sinners. Jesus reminds them there, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ was, and Jesus Christ still today is the light of the world. It is through Jesus Christ that people can come out of spiritual darkness. They can come out of their spiritual blindness. And they can come into His marvelous light. Look at what the verses tell us. John chapter 9. And look at verses 5 to 7. Jesus said this, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seen. Jesus Christ had to touch the blind man, and the blind man had to obey Christ. It was not a question, listen, of who sinned. Romans 3:23 says this, "For how many have sinned? For all have sinned," right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, if Jesus Christ has not touched your eyes, then you are not seen. There are so many people today who are blind and they don't even know that they're blind. They are religious. They may think that they know God, but they don't know God at all. And how sad it is. They're blind. They're blind. Like the poor young man in the mine explosion. Who did not realize his blindness as long as he was in the dark. There are people today who are hearing the word of God preached and they're saying, "Well, why doesn't somebody turn on the light? I don't get it. I don't understand this." That's exactly what Pontius Pilate did. Pontius Pilate in John 18 asked the question, "What is truth? What is truth?" And he was standing right in the presence of the one who was the truth. Pontius Pilate says, he says, "What is truth?" And Jesus was right there in front of him. The truth was right there in front of him. But he didn't understand. We need to let Christ touch our eyes so that we can see. Just as in this story, physically, Jesus goes and He makes those little mud pies, if you will, and then he puts them there on the man, touches the man. Notice what it says. When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is, by interpretation, sent. He sent him. He went His way, therefore, and washed, and came seen. We need to let Christ touch our eyes so that we can see. It may seem strange to us the way that God chose to heal the man. Again, think about it. Spitting on the ground, making mud pies. Okay, I did that when I was a little boy on the farm. We had a big oak tree right near our house. And I had a sandbox there. And sometimes I remember as a little boy having a wooden board, piece of plywood there. And, you know, getting a bunch of water like boys can do and make a mess. And making mud pies and laying them out and cooking them there on my board. Jesus made mud pies and packed some mud pies there on that man's eyes. It may seem very strange. Why did He do that? They told that man, I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Think about it. Why did God choose to use such a strange method to heal this blind man? Perhaps it was so that the blind man understood that he had to obey the words of Jesus if he was going to see. He was going to have to obey the words of Jesus if he was going to see. Number two, perhaps it was an illustration to us. This man's eyes were covered by dirt, they were covered by mud, and he had to go wash in the water in order to see. You know, that is true about our own lives. Every one of our lives is dirty and stained because of sin. And our only hope for cleansing is to be washed. Our only hope for cleansing is to be washed by the water of God's Word. Water represents the Word of God in some passages. And there's going to never be salvation in a person's life without the water of the Word of God washing us and cleansing us and making us whole. Psalm 119 verse 130 tells us this, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Boy, the Word of God is very important to the salvation of a soul. The Word of God is important in bringing light into a man's soul. The Word of God is important in washing us and cleansing us from our sin. Why did God choose to use such a strange method in healing this blind man? Number three, perhaps it was as a testimony to the unbelieving Jews. Maybe He chose a strange method to be a testimony to the unbelieving Jews. Look what the Bible says there down in verse number 29. John chapter 9, verse 29 to verse 33. Stay with me. Listen on purpose. John chapter 9, verse 29 to 33. It says, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, in other words, as for Jesus, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. God wanted to show the Jews that by the healing of this blind man, that Jesus truly was the God-man sent down from the Heavenly Father. The method that God chose to use to heal this blind man is not really as important as who healed the blind man, though. It doesn't matter what method He used. Jesus could have just said, okay, be made whole. And that man could have received his sight. Jesus could have done it any way He wanted to. The method doesn't matter as much as who did it. It was Jesus Christ. It was Christ who caused his eyes to open. The blind man's part was simply to trust and obey what Jesus told him to do. Jesus packed the mud pies onto his eyes and said, now go. You're sent. I want you to go and I want you to wash in the pool of Siloam. You know, sometimes in the ministry of Jesus Christ, He used different methods of healing people. If the method was the touch of Jesus, that merely a person had to be touched, if the method was the touch of Jesus, then the man that was healed would insist that everyone would need the same experience that he had. And he would go away singing the song, The Touch of His Hand on Mine. When Jesus healed others by not touching them at all, those people would insist that a person doesn't need to experience anything. They would say that all that a person needs is the word of Jesus to be spoken, and they would maybe go away singing the hymn, "Only Believe." That's all you got to do. Then this blind man here in this story would say to all of them that, "No, you're all wrong." He would say, "You've got to be touched by Jesus, and then you've got to go to the pool and wash." And he would probably go away singing the hymn, "Shall We Gather at the River?" Listen, if Jesus, the method doesn't matter as much as it was the person, Jesus Christ. It may sound silly, but some people would argue that a certain ceremony or a certain experience is necessary in order for a person to be saved. You know what? The most important thing is that a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that saves. It is not going to be some religious ritual. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be a person coming to Jesus Christ. In John 6 and verse 37, Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Person must come to Christ. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves sinners. It is the person of the Lord Jesus that changes those who are lost in darkness. It is the person of Jesus Christ that takes those who are spiritually blind, who are lost and dying in their sins, and can restore them, and who can give them sight, and who can make them whole. It is Jesus that can rescue sinners from hell and set them free from the chains of sin. It is Jesus, only Jesus. I want us to look for just a few moments at how the condition of the blind man in John chapter 9 is so similar to our condition as sinners before we get saved. How is it that the condition of this blind man is so similar to the condition of sinners before we get saved? A few thoughts real quickly. Number one, the blind man was outside the temple, shut out from God. The blind man was outside the temple, shut out from God. Remember that Paul says in Ephesians 2:12 that we are strangers from the covenants of promise, that we had no hope, that we were without God in this world. You know what? That's the condition of every person before we get saved. We are outside. We are outside. We are strangers. Without God, we are shut out. Without God, we have no hope. The blind man was outside the temple, shut out from God. That's so similar to our condition before we get saved. Number two, the man was blind. The man was blind. He was unable to see the Savior. John Hancock heard a preacher speak the verse in John 10:9 that says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And as he walked home that night after the church service, he thought to himself, "I've always admired that preacher, but tonight, I didn't follow him. Tonight, I didn't understand it. Tonight, I didn't get it. He's always impressed me as a great speaker, but I didn't understand what he was saying tonight." When John Hancock went home, he put the key into the lock of the door of his house, and he pushed open the door of his big home. And suddenly it dawned on him. He understood what the preacher was speaking about when he shared the words of Jesus that said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And John Hancock said out loud, "Now I see. Now I see. Now I get it. Now I understand that Jesus is the door and faith is the key that unlocks the door. I get it now. I understand it. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. And I need to have faith to open the door. Now I understand. Now I believe. Now I can see him." You know something? We too were blind without Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you're still blind without Christ. You may think, "Well, I'm doing okay because I'm religious now, or I go to church now." Going to church doesn't get anybody to heaven. Being religious doesn't get anybody to heaven. A person must put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We're blind without Christ. Did you see Him as your Savior before you were saved? Was He wonderful to you then? No, because you were spiritually blind before you got saved. Jesus is wonderful to us after we get saved. Why? Because now we can see. Now I can see. The blind man, we said, was outside the temple. He was shut out from God. And we are shut out from God without hope, without Christ. Number two, the man was blind. He was unable to see the Savior. Number three, the man had been blinded from his birth. The man had been blinded from his birth. Listen, that's the same condition as us. No different. We were all born into sin. Listen, we were all born with a sin nature. There's not some of you, "Well, you were born a Christian." You weren't born a Christian. You were born a sinner. I was born a sinner.
I have a sin nature. You have a sin nature.
We're born into sin, spiritually blind and lost in our sins. We came into this world committing sin from our birth, and no one ever had to teach you as a baby how to do wrong. Nobody ever had to teach you as a baby how to throw a temper tantrum. Nobody ever had to teach you how to be selfish. It came naturally. Why? Because we were born into sin. We were born blind. The man was blind from his birth. Number four, the blind man was beyond human help. Number four, the blind man, if you're writing it down, was beyond human help. Now, nobody had a cure for his blindness. And we're the same way. We were helpless sinners in the world, and no one had a cure for us. No one could do anything to help us. Nobody could do anything. Nobody could bring peace to our soul. Just like this blind man was beyond human help. All these years, no doctor had found a cure. Nobody had ever been able to do anything for him. Same thing. We have no hope without Jesus Christ. We are beyond human help. The fifth thing I see about the blind man is that he was a beggar. He was a beggar. You know what? This thought may hurt a lot of people. We would hate to admit it. We would hate to see ourselves sometimes as being needy, helpless, poor beggars who need someone else to help us. You know what some people tried to do? Some people tried to pay for their salvation. Some people tried to buy their salvation. I can't think of myself as a beggar. I can't think of myself. No. Some people try to buy their salvation, pay for their salvation, but it's not for sale. We have to come to God for salvation just as this blind beggar did. And God will give us the gift of salvation. Understand something. We have nothing to offer God. You have nothing to offer God. God doesn't accept people because, wow, I think that's a good one. I think I want to include them in my family. No, we have nothing to offer Him. We're just like the blind beggar. We're sinners. We're needy. We're lost. We're unclean. We have nothing to offer Him. We don't receive the gift of salvation because of our own merits, our own good deeds, our own good works. We cannot buy it with money. Isaiah 55 in verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye buy and eat." Why? Because it's absolutely free. The gift of salvation, it cannot be bought, it cannot be earned. Hey, if you're just thirsty, you come to Him and drink of the living waters, and you'll never thirst again. To the thirsty, Jesus is the water of life, and it's available at no cost. To the hungry, Jesus is the bread of life, and it is absolutely free. To the hopeless, Jesus is the one who can give you hope. To the beggar, Jesus is the one who can meet your every need. To the sinner, Jesus Christ is the one who can forgive our sins and save our soul. That's Jesus. Just like the blind man was a beggar, we were in the same condition before we got saved. Number six, the blind man made no appeal to Jesus. The blind man made no appeal to Jesus. Think about this. The man just sat there. He just sat there. He didn't know Jesus at all. I don't know how he did it. He just sat there. Day after day. Maybe at a roadside. Maybe begging sometimes. I mean, think about it. A man that was blind, a man that had not seen a day in his life, but he just sat there begging. Maybe if he heard someone walking along, maybe he'd ask for help. But listen, this man here, he made no plea to Jesus. He really didn't know anything about Jesus. He didn't know the power that Jesus had. He didn't know all that Jesus could do in his life. It really wasn't so much the beggar seeking Jesus as it was Jesus seeking this blind beggar. Because Jesus wanted to change his life. Jesus was looking for him. The Bible tells us in Luke 19:10 that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save the lost. Listen, before you were ever looking for Jesus, He was seeking for you. Isn't that a great thought? Before you were ever looking for Jesus, He was seeking for you. He loved you. God sent His Son into the world to die for us. He wanted you to be saved. The blind man made no appeal to Jesus. Number seven is this. There was no compassion shown to the blind man by others. There was no compassion shown to the blind man by others. The Jews passed by him on their way to the temple. The disciples, they wanted to argue about him. Well, who sinned, right? Did his parents sin? Did he sin? Why did this punishment come upon him? Jews would pass him by, not want to have anything to do with him. They had no intention of showing any mercy or care for this man's body or soul. But there was one that passed by that cared. Jesus Christ had compassion for that blind beggar that sat there. Was the blind beggar crying out? No, not at all. But Jesus loved him and Jesus was seeking for him. Listen, Christ cares for sinners. Christ loves the hopeless more than anybody else in the world. And he alone is the one who can truly help us. He's the one that can help us. In our service tonight, we're going to talk more in this chapter and we're going to see people's reaction. It's pretty interesting in this chapter, people's reaction to the miracle. How people reacted to the miracle that takes place. But if you're here this morning, I want you to understand that, listen, you may have religion but still be blind. You may think you know God, but yet still be blind. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't think that just because I go to church, or just because I'm religious, or just because I say some prayers. Lots of people do all those things. But they're blind. They're just like that man that was blinded in the tunnels. When there was an explosion in the tunnels and some of the shafts in the mine were crumbled and they were stuck in there. And that man, just in total utter darkness below the earth, had no idea that he was blind. Maybe in that same position. Do you truly know Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Do you know him as your personal Savior? If you have any doubts about that, you sure need to make sure you get it settled. You need to make sure that you have come to Christ, that you have received Him as your personal Savior. You need to pray for others. There are so many of you that know others around you that sadly, they may be religious, but they're blind. And they don't know Jesus. They really don't see Jesus for who He is and all that He's done. They may even know some things about Him, but they don't know Him personally as their Savior. Pray for others. Care for others as well. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father,